At 8:22, this is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. Officials from Immigration and Customs Enforcement say agents detained more than 50 people over the weekend in the Austin and San Antonio areas. Officials said they were specifically looking for people who have failed to honor a deportation order or who have warrants for DWI or domestic violence. The majority of the country's 11.1 million undocumented immigrants are spread across just 20 U.S. metro areas. That's according to a recent study from the Pew Research Center. Jeff Purcell is a Pew senior demographer.
These have been the top 20 metropolitan areas in terms of numbers of unauthorized immigrants for at least a decade. You know, that sort of predates all of this concern over sanctuary cities.
Using Census Bureau estimates from 2014, the Pew study found Houston has the largest number of undocumented immigrants in the state with 575,000 people. Dallas-Fort Worth was second with 475,000. Unauthorized immigrants account for about 37% of the immigrant population in both cities. Texrail commuter train service is scheduled to begin boarding passengers in November of 2018 in downtown Fort Worth. The 27-mile rail line will connect Fort Worth with DFW Airport with stops in North Richland Hills and Grapevine. There will also be a walkway connecting the Texrail station with the Dallas Area Rapid Transit Light Rail station, making easy transfers possible. Construction's already begun on the project north of downtown Fort Worth. The Federal Transit Administration in December approved about $500 million in federal money for Texrail, and the DFW Airport Board this month agreed to hire a contractor to build a station at Terminal B. When the project's complete, officials expect 8,000 daily riders at first. The number's expected to grow to 13,000 by 2035. For decades, public schools across North Texas have endured demographic changes from integration, busing, and white flight to immigration and competition from charter and private schools. KERA is launching a new American Graduate Series next week exploring these changes. It's called Race, Poverty, and the Changing Face of Schools. Education reporters Bill Zeeble and Stella Chavez gave Eric Austin a preview.
Bill, you've been following students at Kimball High in Dallas. Let's start there. One of the things that makes this school unique is it's trying to defend its turf against this wave of nearby charter schools.
Charter operations consider Oak Cliff and Southern Dallas ripe for them. And you now have these charter operations, Uplift, Harmony, KIPP. And so I talked to some of the teachers there. One of them, Norma Valdez-Aragon, who's a teacher and a coach at Kimball, says they're very much aware of the competition.
There are charter schools around, and, you know, we have to compete. Parents want a safe school. They don't want to have their child go through the school system and then get to college and not be able to manage.
So Aragon says Kimball's starting a collegiate academy so students can earn college credits in high school. They have a STEM magnet, a hospitality and engineering academy, so they're doing what they can to compete and keep their kids.
Stella, you're reporting on life at O.D. Wyatt High in Fort Worth. The school used to be mostly white. Then by the early 90s, it was mostly black, and now it's half Hispanic. And you spent a lot of time with the principal there.
Mario Lane is the principal at O.D. Wyatt, and he started working there this school year.
A lot of what our school suffers from is the perception truth gap. We have a perception that our campus, you know, our students aren't smart or our teachers don't work hard or whatever the case may be. But the truth is, that's not true. You know, the truth is that we have some really smart and talented kids. The truth is we have some very hardworking teachers. The truth is Wyatt has the potential to be a really, really good school. But you have to have people that believe in that.
One of the things Mr. Lane has been doing is, for example, recognizing students for wearing their student ID in the hallway. He's bringing in different groups of kids to different meetings and events to recognize what they've accomplished.
Bill, you've been focusing on Duncanville High School. It's a huge high school, and it's also seen lots of demographic changes. But no matter what the demographics, the girls' basketball team has always been a powerhouse.
The Duncanville Pantherettes have won 9 state girls basketball championships overall most recently. They won in the 2015-16 year. They've been winning forever. In the early days, they were a white girls basketball team. Now, they're almost all Hispanic and Black. The coach, who's been there since 2000, is Kathy Self Morgan. She's white. You'd think the coach would be looking for who's the best skilled, who has these basketball talents, dribbling or whatever it is. And she says her first concerns have little to do with basketball skills.
My biggest challenge is making sure these kids are fed and making sure they have warm clothes when it's cold.
So the coach, Kathy Self Morgan, has the backing of the kids because they know she has their back, and they perform.
Stella, Liberty High School in Frisco hasn't been open that long. A quarter of the kids are Asian, about 10% are Hispanic, and another 10% are Black. You say the school embraces its diversity. How so?
The school has a Muslim and Hindu student association. There's also a classroom which has been set aside as a sort of prayer room for Muslim students to go inside to pray. Now, this is something that the principal, Scott Warsler, has been very supportive of. He talks about Liberty's diversity being the norm rather than the exception.
When we see our students interact and when we see our different clubs and organizations come together and work for whatever the cause may be, I think what's really cool is race, socioeconomic status, it doesn't separate our student body. It actually, I think, makes us stronger. I think it gives our students an advantage going on to college.
When I talk to students there, you know, they talk about how they don't really think about how different they are from their peers. You know, they're growing up in a very diverse community. They feel that that's an asset. They're able to, you know, they feel like they can get along with everyone.
Stella Chavez and Bill Zeeble, thanks so much.
Thank you, Eric.
You're welcome.
Race, Poverty, and the Changing Face of Schools begins next Tuesday during Morning Edition. And the forecast, rain throughout the day, flood advisory in effect for about another hour or so. Expect a high of 52.